it and use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. It was and is to come. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed this morning. Keep smiling. Y'all seem kind of subdued this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise his mighty name. If God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we got one more week before Thanksgiving. Is that what we got? Well, let's start right now to be thankful. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have so much in this nation to be thankful for. Despite our problems, we're still the greatest nation God has ever graced on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. We're going to continue. We skipped a week last week for the dedication of baby Hope Gloria Sue Graves. Say that real fast, three times. And that was an honor, and it was fun to do. We actually got some positive feedback on people that watched us on the internet, that they enjoyed the baby dedication. And up until the time that I held her, she enjoyed it, I think. I know it. I know it. I didn't pinch her. I assure you I didn't pinch her. Hallelujah. How many know that the Bible describes, anyway, we're going to continue our series, Baby Hope got me distracted there a little bit, on Jesus. We have spoken about him being the way, the truth, and the life. We did a message on, we spoke on him being the bread of life. Amen. And turn off the computer, please. You got them. You got their attention. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Watching pictures. I'm preaching. Their eyes are gone. Now, I know you all smart enough to multitask, okay? But if I was out there watching pictures, I wouldn't hear nothing that the minister said. Okay? So didn't you hear me when I said y'all owe me $100? You didn't see? That's the point I'm making. You was watching it. No, you would have heard that. You would have heard that. You would have heard that. So anyway, we did a message on Jesus as he proclaimed himself to be the bread of life. And we did a message on Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then we dedicated Baby Hope, and we're back on that series about Jesus. Someone pointed out to me recently that if you take the book of Luke and you begin to read a chapter in Luke on December 1st, by the time you get to Christmas Day, you will have a better understanding of why we celebrate Christmas, okay? So I recommend you start doing that right now, okay? That sometime between now and December 25th, you finish the book of Luke, amen? Everybody good with that? All right. So today we're going to talk about Jesus' claim to be the Good Shepherd. Have you noticed in the Bible that God uses the metaphor of shepherd for himself, okay, and we as sheep, right? And so there's a lot of valuable information that helps us understand our relationship with God the Father and His Son Jesus. If we understand, what it was like for a shepherd as they tended the flocks. Amen. So in Genesis 49:24, don't turn there. It describes God Almighty as a shepherd who strengthens. Amen. How many know that the joy of the Lord is our strength? When we reach the end of our rope, somebody told me this morning that they had reached the end of their rope. And by the way, somebody stuck an offering in my pocket. And I better get it out now or the dry cleaners will find it. Not sure what that is, but it's not an offering. But anyway, get that out. So God uses a metaphor to describe himself as a shepherd. Jesus uses the same metaphor, and we are described as sheep. And in Genesis 49, the shepherd, God Almighty, as our shepherd, is our strength. Amen? And then in Isaiah 40, and that's where I ask you to turn, Isaiah 40, page 918, we'll look at verses 10, 11, and 12. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. We ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? I read too far. But this passage of Scripture describes God as a tender shepherd, one who leads with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. His reward was with him. His work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd and will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently, gently lead those who are with young. So here the prophet describes God as a tender shepherd. I want you to go with me to Psalms 23, and then we're going to come back to Isaiah. So mark Isaiah. We're going to go to Psalms 23, come back to Isaiah, and then go back to Psalms 23. Say, that is that really necessary? Well, probably not, but you know, when you got your own service, you can do what you want. Right now, please help me out. Humor me, as they say. In Psalms 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If God is your shepherd, you're not going to lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The point I want to point out here is because the Lord is our shepherd, we don't have to fear evil. Amen? Because the Lord is our shepherd, we don't even have to fear in the valley and the shadow of death. Amen. So go back to Isaiah, mark Psalms 23, and go back to Isaiah, only this time go to chapter 53. So it's obvious in the natural that sheep need a leader, right? Sheep need a shepherd. Is that correct? Okay. Just want to make sure. So if God is our shepherd, we are his sheep, then we are in need of God being our shepherd, correct? All right. So let's go here to Isaiah 53. Let's just start in verse 1. Because it's good. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Jesus was despised. They never placed any value on him. Matter of fact, they thought that his sin must have been so grievous. It had to be such a horrible sin for God to put such a horrible punishment on him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. See, they thought he was stricken by God because of his own sins. But the writer here of Isaiah says, No, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now look at verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. So without a shepherd, the sheep are going to go astray. Okay? We have turned everyone to his own way. This goes right along with the Sunday school lesson this morning, does it not? We have turned everyone to his own ways. As sheep, we've quit following the shepherd. We've gone astray. We followed after what we thought was right or what we wanted to do. Amen? The Lord, now watch, the Lord, Yahweh, has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So the prophet Isaiah, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, is telling us that it is our iniquity, which we know is the Hebrew word avon. You spell it like Avon. Be careful who's knocking at your door. Although I don't know, does Avon still do that? I don't either. I've never worn their lipstick, okay? No, honest, I haven't. Thank you, Jesus, okay? So the point is, avon is the word for iniquity, and at its root, it means rebellion. It's going in an opposite direction. And so the point the prophet's making here is, listen, you're like sheep. You've went astray. See, if the sheep don't have a shepherd, then they'll go astray. They'll wander off. And if they wander off, then they're at the mercy of lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Or in our case, we're at the mercy of Satan, who is a liar, right? And he's out to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. And as a child of God, his greatest prize is you and me. He doesn't need to destroy the sinner, although many of them are slowly destroying themselves with alcohol and drug use. But his greatest prize is destroying one of God's own. That's why we're in need of a shepherd. Because as a human being in a flesh body, we are prone to go astray. But here's everything we talked about this morning in Sunday school is about relationship, okay? And the sheep, Jesus, we're going to see here in a minute that Jesus will make the point to say, my sheep know my voice. Amen? And so the idea is, as our shepherd, we know his voice. Just like sheep who know their shepherd, we should know our shepherd and his voice and his word. Amen? And because it's his word and his voice or his spirit inside of us, that keeps us from going astray. Jesus said that Holy Spirit will be your teacher, your helper, and your guide. Amen. We talked about this morning, we talked about God being in us. Amen. We sang a song a while ago about reflecting the bride, reflecting the glory of God. Amen. God in us should be reflected to the world. Amen. But if we don't allow Him to lead us, guide us, and direct our path, then we'll begin to reflect to the world our own wants, our own selfish needs. We will be going astray. Amen. But the Bible says that God struck Him not only for our transgressions and sins, but for our iniquity, that rebellion against God. All right, let me keep going here. Let's just read the rest of Psalms 53 because it's good. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Go back to 8b, the last part of 8. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Do you know what? We ought to mark this verse, because we're coming to Thanksgiving. And every day, including Thanksgiving Day, we ought to quote this verse and thank God that for the transgressions of me, he was stricken. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think we are really truly enjoying our salvation and walking in all that Jesus has done for us. We have to be more conscious, more aware of what he has done. And one of the ways we can become more conscious and more aware is getting in the habit of thanking him. Well, don't you think, it'll lose its glitter and glamour. We'll just get used to it. It'll become old hat. I doubt it. I don't think so. But I would sure like to see everybody being thankful for that every day. Amen. I truly believe that is what Paul meant when he says praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always, there are different types of prayer. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. There are times when we're doing spiritual warfare. But then there's times when to pray always was to be thankful and bless God. Amen. Every moment of every day, everything going on in your life is good. Thank God. Amen. All right, let me keep going. I'm about to get off track. Let's go back now. I'm not going to read any more of that. Let's go back to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. If you look at the Bible, and I never noticed this before until recently, if you look in the Bible, God picked shepherds to lead his people. Think about that for a minute. Abraham was a herdsman. Abraham had flocks. Moses, what? Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, but Moses wasn't called by God until he spent 40 years leading his father-in-law, Jethro's, sheep and goats. Herding those sheep and goats. Isn't that something? Jacob was chosen by God. He was a shepherd. But the one we remember more than any other one other than Jesus is who? King David. As a young man was tending his father's sheep. Remember Samuel looking for, God told him, said, hey, go see Jesse. That's the next king. He's got one of his sons. That's the next king. And of course, you know the story. Samuel goes through every one of them, the big, the tall, the handsome. He says, isn't there somebody else? Well, there's this kid. He's out taking care of the sheep. Now, think about that for a minute. Think about this. David tells King Saul, remember they're about to face Goliath? Hey, he say, King, don't be, hey, God's got this Goliath. Man, while I was watching daddy's sheep, a lion came and grabbed one of them. I smote him, and then I killed him. Then a bear showed up. How many know this shepherding deal wasn't safe? You know, Jesse today would be on trial for child abuse. How many know God's got a plan? And part of David's plan, listen, David, before you're ever going to be king, Moses, before you're ever going to lead my people out of Egypt, you're going to have to learn to tend to a herd. You ever heard that term? Man, this was like herding cats. You know, cats aren't herd animals. You cannot herd cats. You got nine cats, you got nine different directions. Yeah, and quick. And they can climb stuff. And then, but goats and sheep, they are herd animals. They have a natural instinct to herd up. Cows are the same way. They're naturally herd up. People, we're the same way. God created us for relationships. But before Moses and before David could deal with herding people, not herding as in H-U-R, herding, H-E-R-D-I-N-G, as in thundering herd, okay? Before they could do that, they had to learn some lessons of shepherding. Somebody say amen, right? So let's go here to Psalms 23. And you know, Moses had a lot of problems. You brought us out here to die, number one. Pharaoh's army behind. Red Sea in front, Moses had to say, be still and see the Yashah, or the salvation of God. Amen. So let's go over here. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now let's think about this for a minute. David knew what it was to be a shepherd. Okay? If you notice, all the other sons of Jesse were there close by to Jesse's house when Samuel came. The only one that wasn't there amongst the family was David. And he's out in the wilderness tending sheep with dangerous lions and dangerous bears. One of the things that an old rabbi, Rabbi Shapiro, said is that shepherds have a lot of time to think, because they're out there, the sheep's not talking to them. I mean, they may make some noises every night, but he's not having a conversation. So he's out there by himself, Rabbi Shapiro says. So they have time to think. And he says this: to elevate oneself to the highest level where one transcends the physical reality and enters a higher dimension of communicating with the infinite requires a huge amount of work and a lot of time to think. Now let me break that down for you. What he said was, in order for you to get to know God, to understand God, it takes time, and it might take you being in solitude like a shepherd to spend time with God. You're not spending, my brother one day, you know, he told me, man, I seen the light on down at the shop early this morning. Was you down here early? I said, yeah. I said, I got up early and I spent an hour with God, and then I got on the treadmill. He said, how long do you walk on the treadmill? I said, I walked an hour and 30 minutes. He said, and you prayed this morning? He said, you must have prayed on the treadmill. I said, no, I didn't pray on the treadmill. I can watch TV on the treadmill, and I can even read on the treadmill. But I have to concentrate, okay? I have to really, if I didn't have something direct in my mind, you know, if I'm trying to talk to somebody on a treadmill, I can't even talk on the phone on a treadmill. I gotta shut it down. I said, no, that's not spending time with God. In front of the TV, that's not spending time with God. Amen? Multitasking. It's good to talk to God while you're cooking or whatever you're doing, but you know what? It's not the same. It's not the same as getting quiet before God. And a shepherd had a vocation where he could be alone with God and experience God's presence. Amen? You know, you and I, we're one up on David because the presence of God is dwelling in us. But David was one up on us because he got to go out in the wilderness where nobody else was at. Where there wasn't anybody, once the sheep had laid down, there wasn't any other distractions for that shepherd. Amen? Well, I'm sure they let him know when they were coming. Rabbi Shapiro said this, one of the greatest lessons that we need to learn from Jewish history is the difficulty and the challenges of unifying and trying to lead the most individualistic nation on earth. Being a shepherd is good practice for this daunting task. And that's why God chose shepherds. He was trying to unify his people. He was trying to bring them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of a pagan nation that worshiped many gods, and lead them to the one true God. All right? Now, let's go. Why did I close my Bible for? That was silly. Back to Psalms 23, where I was at. We'll be done here in a couple minutes. That don't mean nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why shall you not want if God is your shepherd? Because as your shepherd, he's providing for you, or he's leading you where the provision lies. Amen. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod was a weapon. The staff was used as guidance. The sheep was going the wrong way. Hey, come back this way. Get back over here. Okay? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Amen. The shepherd guards, protects, and provides for the sheep. And at times, a sheep is hurt. He heals the sheep. Amen. Now, with that, I want you to turn with me to John's gospel. We'll close here shortly. John chapter 10. I really think it would be good practice to in our devotions to remind ourselves that Jesus is our good shepherd, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the Chaim Lechem, the bread of life. So here in John 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Matter of fact, the shepherd at night, they would have them in a makeshift pen, and the shepherd would sit in the doorway. He was the door of the sheepfold. Jesus says, anybody's coming in except by that door, he's a thief. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. I am, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. God speaks of shepherds in Ezekiel, evil, selfish shepherds. And God says that someday he will send a shepherd, a good shepherd. So from Ezekiel 34, Jesus is quoting that verse when he says, he is that good shepherd. Remember the one that God said he would send? I am that one. Amen. Let me keep going. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. See, the hireling flees in the presence of danger. Amen? Because, hey, these ain't my sheep. These ain't my sheep. Why should I care? Why should I put my life on the line? But because we are God's sheep, he himself died for us. Amen. He put his life on the line. 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Back to verse 16. Other sheep I have, talking about Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And watch what he says. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. And that's the basis for the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, when he says that God is making one new man out of two, Jew and Gentile. That's the two flocks Jesus is talking about, under one godly king. Jesus is our shepherd. Amen? Everybody with me? Y'all good? It's just been like all the airs out of us this morning. Too many Saturday night ball games, I guess. I think, we need to remind ourselves. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life. Amen? He is our good shepherd. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Maybe I can get Jackie and Carolyn to help me this morning. Glory to God. Praise his mighty name. We missed Hope this morning. She always brightens everybody up. Nothing like a baby to brighten up a day. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah. Fill up two pews anyway. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. God is good. So remember those food boxes. If you know somebody that needs a food box, I need names and addresses as soon as you can get them to me. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the bread that we hold in our hand. We thank you, Father, that it is the body of the Lord Jesus. And the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He told his disciples, "This is my body. Take and eat." And Lord Jesus, this morning, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are right now our immerser in the Holy Spirit and our high priest interceding for us and our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our heart and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And at Calvary, we know the Lord Jesus poured out his life, that we could be partakers of that life. We also know this cup represents the fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony that only the bride drank from as a symbol of her vow of fidelity until her husband came. So this cup also becomes a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until Jesus comes. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we drink from this cup this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all be blessed this week. Amen. Let me bless you and loose you and let you go. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. I ask that you bless these, your people, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. Bless them in every area of their life, Lord God, and allow us the privilege of reflecting your love to someone in need of your love this week. Let us be your witness. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.